Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Friday, April 8th, 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing, Addy O'Yea Jr. Joining me is twitch.tv/AndyCortez.
Great morning, Blessing, Addy O'Yea Jr.
Andy, how's it going?
It's going great. I got some coffee.
What kind of coffee?
I got a frozen one because it's a little bit warmer in San Francisco, right? It's a little bit warmer in San Francisco. I think it's like not warm enough to turn on my air conditioning unit, but I definitely want something to kind of, you know, chill. You know, I have the window open, as you can see in the background, a little bit brighter in that section, because it was hot as hell yesterday, man. Holy cow.
Dude.
It was beautiful outside. And again, like when it's 77 outside and beautiful and windy, it was 87 in here.
Yeah, no, I have that exact same thing where you mentioned having an AC unit, which I didn't realize you have. That's like, you're balling. Like, you're living the good life over there. Because
I bought one that connects to the window.
Oh, damn. You went, like, above and beyond to actually live comfortably. I have not done that. And so I don't have an AC unit in my apartment. And we also live on the top floor of our apartment building. And so, like, heat rises. And yesterday, not even toward the end, actually. It was, like, 10 minutes into PSLW where I had to take off my jacket because I was sweating profusely. And by the time I finished PSLW, right, and by the time I finished work, right, like, one, I had to finish that episode, and I took a quick lay down. I was like, bro, I got to, like, catch my breath. It's really hot in here. But then, like, later on, I had dinner plans. I was going to, like, a group. It was, like, an iftar for Ramadan because I have friends that celebrate and so that participate. And so, like, I was going to that. But I was like, man, I got to take a long shower before I go to this, because if I go to this right now, I'm going to be all stinky, and nobody wants that. Hot as hell.
Sorry, real quick, can you click off the dock? You've highlighted everything, and I'm gonna have.
Have I done?
That was me. I was copy pasting from the dock, Kevin, and putting it into my Google Keep. That way, I have my kind of fake dark mode working right now. We were talking about earlier how light mode and dark mode. I was going to completely expose Blessing and his sort of weird tendencies. Because we were at Achievement Hunter Live, and I was like, Blessing, you use light mode?
Blessing, it is weird tendencies, is a great way to put it.
Blessing, you use light mode on Twitter? And he was like, oh, I have to, man. And then Blessing said the funniest thing, Kevin. He said, I switch over to dark mode whenever I'm screenshotting stuff so people don't call me out on Twitter.
Blessing, I'm going to be honest with you. There's nothing wrong with it. There are hundreds.
You're a light mode user too?
You know that. Oh, remember, God, I fought it. Like, we had an argument at the studio.
Oh my God.
You switched over the computer. I'm like, never touch my computer again.
It's just the fact that I've used Twitter. I've used it in light mode for so long that I can't switch over. I tried to switch over to dark mode and it just doesn't feel right. I can't reach shit in dark mode for some reason. My brain can't process it.
That's so weird.
Like, I switch it over and it's like, you know how, like, you take off your glasses and, like, somebody says some shit to you and you're like, bro, without one sense, none of them work. Like, I can't fucking process
anything right now.
I switch to dark mode and all of a sudden, like, letters aren't letters anymore. Words aren't words. They're all different languages and I can't understand anything. Much sense. Yeah, Kevin understands what I'm saying. Everything's just different. It's a different UI. It's a different app, basically. And so I just stick with light mode, but then I lie about it when I'm posting screen. If I ever, like, tweet a screenshot, most of the time, Instagram.
Who cares? You'll just have a couple people that, like...
I love it. I love it.
Right, every single time.
This dude.
It's the most blessing thing.
Any single time I post a screenshot and it's in light mode, I always get comments of like, bro, you use Twitter and I'm going to throw up. First of all, shut the fuck up, all right? It's light mode. It's not like I'm over here committing sins. I'm not breaking one of the Ten Commandments. I'm just fucking trying to see better. But people get so disgusted about it. And so now I just fake it. I switch over to dark mode and then I post.
Just mute those people and then you won't hear them again. Sometimes and they're gone forever. That's on them. Put in your profile. Say, I will mute you if you complain about light mode.
There's a Twitch poll up right now. 90% of the viewers in chat are voting for dark mode. And also,
Andy,
yesterday on the Twitter poll I put up during the Kind of Funny podcast or interview, I forget which one it was. Maybe it was 2 days ago. Maybe the morning show. I forget, Kevin. 78% of viewers said that Nathan For You is a good show, and Kevin is
I actually looked into that. It turns out those all are idiots. I looked into it. Everyone that voted that way, a moron.
YouTube comments. Let us know in the comments if you think that Nathan For You is a good show and if Kevin's wrong. Yeah.
Please help me mute you all. Please.
Spall2714 in chat says, yeah, I'm done with Kind of Funny. This is the last straw. So that's what it's come down to. Kevin, that's why I can't mute everybody. It's the fact that the 90% favor dark mode, and it's you gotta think about this too. Light mode is the default. That is the mode you're in when you download the app. For 90% of people to be dark mode people, that is like an insane number. Like you've won. Like it's similar to how I have given up that like, yeah, I'm the weirdo for microwaving my Eggo waffles. I understand that.
What?
I accept that, and I'm not fighting against it.
Wait, what? Do you not toast it after you microwave them? Because that's the move right there. Oh, you got rid of your little toaster too, right?
Yeah, I don't have the toaster. I gave it to a friend, yeah.
Good. But like, you got it, man. You microwave it, and then you toast it, because that brings it right back. That brings it right back.
That is Andy.
Shocking revelation.
You get then, 4 Eggo waffles. You put it in the microwave on a plate. They're soft as pillows, and it's so fucking.
That's fluffy. Yes, I don't want that.
Soft? Yeah, they're soggy at that point.
I want my pancakes to be soft. I don't want a waffle to be soft.
Soft waffles are the fucking future. Like they're great. Soffles. That doesn't sound as great, but like soft waffles. Here's the thing. Y'all are underrating them. They're great. They're fantastic. Oh, but also, I understand. You guys really like toasters, and so like I'm not gonna argue against it.
I love a toaster. I'll throw anything in a goddamn toaster. I'll put this fucking Starbucks Frappuccino in the toaster right now to see how it goes.
Jesus Christ, Andy. I heard that you were playing a little game called Gundam Evolution.
Yeah.
How is
played it last night? Last night, I believe, is the sort of open beta for a lot of people to test out. I was sent a bunch of codes, kind of like, hey, here's some codes and maybe some codes for, you know, your friends to play with you or whatever. So I got a code for you if you want. And Kevin, if you want to hop in with us too, let me know. Gundam Evolution is a 6v6 Overwatch-like game. It's essentially, there's King of the Hill. There are kind of objectives similar to, like, capturing this zone, capturing this zone. It's all sort of objective-based gameplay, hero shooter type thing where you can choose from, I think, around 15, maybe 12 Gundams, and they all have different sort of play styles. You have the up-close melee brawlers. You have a Genji-like Gundam character, like very fast on its feet. You have a Gundam character that's like very, very big and tanky with the big rocket launchers. And obviously they have more health, but maybe they don't do enough damage. So there's a lot of different classes to go with, but it isn't necessarily set in stone like the way Overwatch is, where it's like, here's the healer. You need two healers. Here's the DPS. Like, it's not really built that way. I think you're kind of meant to be a little bit more flexible with what roles you pick. That being said, a couple of the roles are completely broken. A couple of the Gundam characters are just absolutely bullshit, and we ran into some people that seem like they've been playing the game for the last 7 years. The game doesn't look particularly great visually, but I think that's because it's a free-to-play game, so I think they want anybody to play it. So it is very, very light in terms of what it's required to run.
Is it Overwatch like modes? Is it like moving the payload? Is it capturing areas?
There are no payloads. It's mostly captured the areas. It's mostly like King of the Hill domination type modes. I think we played on about 4 different maps last night. I surprisingly had fun with it until we kind of ran into a couple teams that were just really kind of using more of the broken characters. There's one of the characters called Gundam Barbados from one of the more recent Gundam series, and that dude has a big sort of like melee mace and was just kind of like a very, very Doomfist like character. Flying all over the map. Dude had like a pocket mercy type character healing him. It was just absolute bullshit. It was not fun to deal with. But the game is actually surprisingly pretty fun. I was hoping for more customization, however. I was hoping to like maybe I could change the colors and the different skins of these Gundam characters, but everything seems pretty set in stone. But you better believe there's a shop already open. I don't really know what the hell you can buy, but there is a shop available.
Now, is this, I forget if they said before, is this free to play or is this going to be a paid game?
Free to play.
Hell yeah. And is this one that you think you're going to play a lot of when it comes out?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, I'll give it a couple weeks and I'll wait for Overwatch 2 to pop up. I feel like this
like 2025.
Right. I mean, in the same way, Blessing, I think Gundam Evolution is similar to, for any Smash players out there, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl. I see it in that sort of same vein where it's like, sure, okay, I'll play this until the next big drop of content happens. And the drop for us Overwatch players will be Overwatch 2. But the beta for Overwatch 2 is in a couple weeks.
here's the thing, Andy, right? I've been keeping an eye on chat, and chat's just been tearing me apart, right? Here's the thing, chat. Here's the thing that chat needs to know is that I fucking love it. I enjoy it. The more I see these fucking comments about how, like, Bless is evil, Bless is cursed. They should have done a background on Bless. Bless is bringing, like, a fucking weird energy today. I read all those chats, and they fucking build me up.
You're more powerful. I feel more powerful.
You know what, chat? You want to hear another thing? You want to hear another thing that's going to make you fucking throw up in your car right now as you're driving?
Oh, no.
Andy, how do you think I sleep in this bed?
You sleep on the floor. Hold on, you sleep on top without any blankets.
You're close. You're very close. I sleep on top, and then I have like a smaller blanket, a much smaller blanket that I use instead of this big old comforter.
Why?
What? Why?
I just like it better.
Is it not even cold? Is it not cold enough to where you need that?
I don't like being like suffocated by this thing, you know.
Oh my gosh! Oh, I'm the opposite. So yeah, like, Kevin, I get the weighted blanket, Kevin. Right, a couple of years ago at this point, my mom bought it for me. She was like, "Yeah, it sort of helps you. It kind of makes you feel calm." And I was like, "Oh, I love it." And I was like, "Damn, this thing's actually kind of heavy. I feel like my legs are falling asleep. Am I about to be like suffocated at night?" And I'm at the point, Kevin, where I'm about to buy another goddamn mattress just to lay on top of me, I want to just be in between two mattresses because I love the way it feels. I wish it was always freezing cold. That way I needed the weighted blanket. But when it gets warm at night on some of these kind of, you know, more summery nights, the weighted blanket just has to go away because it's way too much.
Now, that's only half the story. The other half is that around like about like 25% of the time I sleep upside down. Right. Like the other way.
I did that for a long time. You move your pillows, though, right?
Yeah, I move my pillows. Yeah.
I imagine you putting your legs in your pillows like a little
TV? Is that because it is for the TV?
Okay, Kevin definitely knows what I'm getting at. Yeah, it is for the TV. Yeah, if I want to watch this TV, I'm usually either sitting in this chair or if I feel like laying down, I'll lay down the opposite way. And then half the time I'm like, I'll fall asleep that way.
I fell asleep
watching the Truman Show the other day. It was great.
You know what you should get? Rewire all the, like, get a little cart. For like, instead of the little stand that you have right now for that TV, get a little cart with some wheels.
Sounds like a lot of work.
I mean, yeah, but you knock it out.
I actually kind of like this idea.
And then you just roll it in front. Because let me tell you, right now, I'm sure you enjoy watching TV on your bed. You're going to enjoy it so much more with that backboard. Because you'll be able to sit down. It's going to change your life.
It's actually a really good idea.
Yeah.
No, that's really good. Andy, before we transition to the proper show, I think there was one more game you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, there was a demo that popped up recently for a game that I'd seen some tweets about. I was just kind of wasn't really sure exactly what it was. But if you can bring up the link, Kevin, that I sent you to Assets, this is a game called Nine Souls. It is there's a demo available on Steam right now. They basically wanted to make the 2D version of Sekiro.
And holy shit.
It's got a really satisfying parry mechanic. It has some really cool extra mechanics that are not found in Sekiro, so there's kind of ways that they're kind of making it their own. This is by Red Lantern Games. I believe the targeted date is sometime 2023, spring 2023, I believe. But I hopped into it a bit last night. I'm going to be recording a gameplay video for it that'll go up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. I had a lot of fun with like the short amount of time that I had with it. It feels really good. It's got a really good mobility. And yeah, I think the art style is fantastic.
Our style looks incredible. How does it feel compared to like a Katana Zero? Because when I think of like a good feeling action 2D game, that's kind of my go-to in terms of like the swiftness, in terms of like the dodging, dashing, parrying. Like, would you compare it to that at all?
Yeah. I think it's as tight as Hollow Knight is as well. It feels so mechanically sound. And again, I feel like there's a fine line between whether I'm going to enjoy, there's like a mosquito in my room. I just keep on trying to get, I feel like there's a fine line in between whether your 2D game's art style is going to resonate with me and vibe with me. It's really tough to actually kind of like, this game looks more like a flash game and I don't really love the art style of it. But for whatever reason, I think that the art style in this game is just so perfect and I'm really, really digging it so far.
Well, Andy, enough about that. Let's talk about today's stories, which include Halo Season 2 details, Metroid Dread's new update, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us. We get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, or bronze members or above, get to write in. And silver members or above, get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, a new PS I Love You XOXO is up right now. That is me and Janet talking about the new season, Backlog Season, and talking about what the rest of the year looks like for video games. You can catch that on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Fargo Brady, Pranksy, and Anonymous. Today brought to you by Chime, DoorDash, and Babbel, but we'll babble on about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one, Halo Infinite Season 2 launches in early May. This is Nicole Carpenter at Polygon. Wow. Halo Infinite second, not the TV show. This is for the video
game. The game.
The movie.
Halo Infinite's second season begins May 3rd. Developer 343 Industries announced on Friday. The season, called Lone Wolves, will add a new battle pass system, new maps, and additional modes. The trailer released Friday morning shows off a bit of those new maps. And Kevin, I have a trailer for you that you can pull up. If you haven't already pulled it up, they can just play in the background. One arena called Catalyst and one big team battle map called Breaker, which appears to have a big lava pit separating parts of the map. The new modes were outlined last month by 343 Industries and include a free-for-all elimination mode called Last Spartan Standing, a new one called Land Grab, and an updated version of King of the Hill. A more detailed report on all player feedback and upcoming tweaks for Halo Infinite Season 2 was posted on Halo Waypoint blog over the past 2 weeks. The first post covered multiplayer content and accessibility, while the second, published Thursday, detailed the Battle Pass progression and customization options, among other things. There, 343 Industries said the Season 2 free Battle Pass track will have more customization options in Season 1 and confirmed that players will be able to earn 1,000 CR Infinite's paid credits with the premium Battle Pass. Some of those new customization rewards can be seen in Friday's trailer, like a sweet new helmet. Andy Cortez, does this seem like enough to get you and the squad back into Halo Infinite?
Not in a big way, but it's definitely something that's going to get me back in. Just to play for a couple days, it'll likely be something I stream. I don't know, man. I feel like the way that I game recently, it's really tough for me to stick with a game for a very, very long time. And I'm surprised, honestly, that I played as much Halo as I did, right? Because I was kind of felt like an addiction from November all the way through kind of like the end of January, beginning of February. I played a lot of Halo. I definitely feel like playing the same maps, getting tired of playing the sort of same modes. Eventually they sort of fixed some of the playlist issues that people were having with it, because it starts to get really repetitive when you're constantly playing Oddball, when you're constantly playing Domination or whatever the hell that game mode is. I'm definitely want to check out the other map, the new arena map. I'm not a big team battle guy, much like you, Blessing. Mm-hmm. I much prefer the 4v4 style Halo. So I think, like, perfect world, I would be 1,000%. And I killed the mosquito, by the way. Killed the mosquito.
Hell yeah, let's fucking go.
Very, very, very great start to Friday. I would be way more into this if we had two arena maps, as opposed to, like, one arena and one big team battle map. I understand that that's still a player base that you need to satisfy and entertain in some way, but I think it is kind of a bummer that we're only getting one arena map, and hopefully Forge mode gets here sooner than later with, I believe they said it's going to, was it co-op that's going to drop sometime during Season 2, or was it Forge mode? I forget.
I think both of them, but then it seems like neither of them are going to be there for a launch. I think they're probably aiming for a bit later into the summer for both those things.
Yeah, it's definitely been a while since I've played Halo. I know that if I were to get back into it, I'd probably be there to stay for a couple of weeks or so. Hopefully this is something that I can, you know, play a couple of games with my brother and my nephew. But yeah, unfortunately, I do feel like some big changes need to be made game mode wise. Otherwise, I just don't really have Halo on the brain. But also, I think a lot of review season killed any momentum I had for Halo, because there were still points where we'd be talking about Halo and Kevin would say, "Are you still playing?" I'm like, "Yeah, every night." Like, I was legitimately still playing Halo every night, just hopping into games. But I do think the start of review season killed any sort of momentum that would have kept going for me, going from Horizon immediately into Elden Ring. That kind of stopped a lot of things for me, unfortunately.
Yeah, correction is Shinobi here says co-op is sometimes season two and then Forge is sometimes season three, which feels very far off, especially given how long season one has been, right? If we're talking about May for the start of season two, then like my problem with Halo is it seems like the foundation, the base, the actual core gameplay loop is so good, but the content itself just is lacking in terms of the pace in which they're giving content and the amount of content that there was at launch. Like, there felt like there was such a lack of maps, and not all the maps hit, right? Like, it's one thing to not have that many maps at launch. It's another thing to have a certain percentage of those maps just not feel great and not feel fun, right? And I think that's part of the reason why Big Team Battle for me was just something that I didn't gravitate toward as much, because like I wasn't really messing with those maps as much. And then even for the arena modes, there is the big map, I forget what it's called, but it's always like a capture the flag type map where it is like a very long ways, there's like the snipers on the both sides, right? Like, that map was always one where whenever I would get it, I'd be like, all right, here we go. And then there was another one that was also like a capture map. It was like the one flag capture where it is like this kind of like C-shaped, you know, industrial location kind of map. That one I wasn't really messing with either. And so, like, when you have multiple maps already where it's like, okay, these aren't hidden, and then those are kind of always in rotation because there's not that many to choose from, I think that kind of dampens things a little bit. And then when you just run out of stuff to do, right, and you have a battle pass system that doesn't feel as rewarding, like Halo Infinite in terms of the content, I feel like had a lot of stuff working against it. And I read this update and I go, all right, like, a new arena map, that's cool. New modes, all right. Like, I like the idea of a last man standing mode, of course. Like, people in chat are asking, like, is that Battle Royale? It's not Battle Royale, right? It is, like, I assume it'll be 8, maybe 12 players or something like that, right? Last man standing. It's not going to be looting. It's not going to be what you think of when you think Battle Royale. When you think Battle Royale, you think bigger map. You think picking up armor, picking up, like, multiple levels of loot and all this stuff, right? That isn't that. This is just going to be a 12-man or 8-man last man standing mode, which sounds fun. Like, I'm down to jump into that, but I don't know if that's going to be enough for me to want to get all the way invested into a season. This sounds like a couple of days worth of playing, even if that.
Yeah, I don't disagree, and I think hopefully season two is a bit shorter than what season one was. Obviously, season one and Halo multiplayer dropped sooner than it was supposed to, right? They had that sort of shadow drop on that surprise Halo anniversary where they released multiplayer before the game came out. So that definitely added length to season one. And by that point, a lot of people were kind of done with the battle pass. I feel like I keep on seeing new articles about how they want to be more vocal and they want to be more open with their communications with the community, because a lot of people are kind of getting fed up with it. And at first it's like, all right, community, chill out, everybody relax, gamers are so annoying, why are they pestering 343? And then weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks go by and you start to wonder, actually, what is going on with Halo? Yeah. Right, like we've seen certain multiplayer studios say, hey, we're slowing down the content, that way we don't get into crunch, right? So, like, I remember Apex at one point mentioned, hey, our content is not going to be like Fortnite, where every week and a half it seems like they're doing something massive. We don't want to overwork our employees, so expect this as the trade-off, right? And you hope that's what's happening over there, but it just seems like, man, this long has gone by and there's one multiplayer map being added, like arena map, which are the ones that I feel like really matter the most.
Yeah.
That's a long time to go with only one multiplayer map. So I hope that they see the anger, they see the annoyances that people have in the community. Obviously, some people are way too irrational about it for a free-to-play game, but I think something that also I thought I would have been more into is the customization of the Spartan. I feel like still customizing your Spartan isn't as satisfying as I wanted it to be. It isn't as free. It isn't as open. It feels pretty restrictive.
Do you think that's because unlocking more stuff feels like it's such a grind because of the battle pass? Like, if you were unlocking things at a faster pace, do you think you'd enjoy the customization more? Or do you think it just overall is not hitting as much as you wanted to?
I think it's a bit of both. I think part of the... It really reminds me of Destiny early days, where you would just have your one shader applied to everything, when really I want to make the shoulder pad a different color than the arm. And I understand that, you know, once you get into that nitty gritty section of customizing your Spartan, you're adding a lot of different textures and materials to your Spartan. So that may cause some performance issues or something like that. But I was just hoping there would be a bit more customization. And I also think I was maybe a little too optimistic when it comes to armor pieces, because at the end of the day, it really feels like so many of these armor pieces that aren't the big obvious, like, here's the cyberpunk armor or here's the samurai armor. When it comes to all the other generic armor pieces, it just starts to blend together. It all starts to blur together and they seem very, very similar.
Andy, I want to transition to talking about Metroid with story number two. Metroid Dread has a new boss rush mode. This is Ryan Dinsdale of the Dinsdale Dimmadome over there at IGN. A free update for Metroid Dread has added boss rush, boss rush and other modes Nintendo has announced. Players can take on bosses one after another in boss rush, and while missiles will be replenished after each battle, any damage taken will continue into the next fight. Beating a boss will upgrade Samus' abilities, though, adding to the player's maximum missiles, energy tank, and power bombs. Survival Rush has also been added, a mode similar to Boss Rush, but instead of fighting a set number of enemies, the player has a limited amount of time to defeat as many as possible. Neither missiles nor health replenish between fights, but players are rewarded with more time for beating a boss, with a bonus for doing so without taking damage. For those seeking a challenge, the one-hit kill Dread mode is getting its own version of Boss Rush, where players must tackle 12 bosses in a row without taking a single hit, which sounds insane. I could never. This will, of course, require some serious skill, so Nintendo has added a practice mode for players to select specific bosses to fight at will. Nintendo previously added two new difficulty options to Metroid Dread, making Boss Rush and these other new game modes the second major update since the game launched last October. Andy, is this something that makes you want to get back into Metroid Dread?
I mean, I think it's great for Metroid Dread enjoyers, and I'd say that I really enjoyed that game as well. But now, this isn't something that would necessarily bring me back in any way, unless we were to do something for a Kind of Funny stream. Maybe we did like a race of some sort.
That'd be really fun.
There's another race, by the way, totally off topic, that I've been wanting to do. Other
the amazing race.
Exactly. Other content creators have been doing it, bless, where you start off as a wretch character in Elden Ring. You try to kill the tree sentinel immediately, like as a level one.
Oh, yeah, I've been hearing about this.
Yeah, that's been something I've been wanting to do. This Metroid Dread boss rush mode, I think, is fantastic for people who really, really dug the game and its systems and kind of wanted to sort of go after those bosses again. Because once they're done, right? You can't really just go back at them at any point in the way that you could in Sekiro, where you could kind of replay those boss fights, which I really, really enjoyed.
Yeah.
This is great for people who kind of really, really dig that game. I don't see myself going back to it, though, for this, unfortunately. How about you?
I'm thinking about it. This is something that I really wanted when I was playing through Metroid Dread, because that was my favorite part of the game, going through the boss fights. I thought those were so well designed. They're really fun. And like, I think for me, that was just the peak fun of Metroid Dread, was fighting the bosses. It's a thing that, honestly, like any game, this is my hot take for the day. Any game that has dope-ass boss fights should have a boss rush mode. Yeah. I think it's a thing that should be way more common. I think it's a thing that people should double down on, because, like, oftentimes, like, as I'm playing through Elden Ring, as I play through Metroid Dread, as I play through Sekiro, and Sekiro had one as well, as I play through Bloodborne, I would get toward the end of the games, or I would get past certain boss fights and go, man, I wish I could do that again. Because, like, there's a certain, like, no pun intended, there's a certain rush you get when you're facing a boss and you're fighting a boss over and over and over again, and you get it in like 10 tries or 15 tries, or in my case of Millennia, 19 tries, and you beat it and you go,
damn, 19, Jesus.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'll,
you guys are God.
Listen, you know, it's me, Andy. It's me. It's me.
You're right. You're right.
I also had a great build for it. I was Samurai, and I had like my Uchi Katana, which tangent, right? People were getting at me. Of course, they're getting at me because I use the Mimic Tear, which, whatever, I don't care. Mimic Tear, does the Mimic Tear trivialize a lot of the boss fights? Sure, but also they gave me the Mimic Tear.
Right.
I didn't mind people getting at me for that. What I did mind was people getting at me for using my Ucha Katana, right? For people who play Elden Ring, if you use the Samurai class, that's the default katana they give you. My thing is, people were saying, they're like, oh man, that's like a broken weapon to use with that boss. Fam, it's the default weapon. That's the weapon they gave me at the very beginning of the game. I didn't work for this weapon. From Software gave me this weapon. If it's broken, then the game's broken. Like, that's not on me. That's on From Software. But I digress.
Blame Miyazaki. No, you're right. Blame Miyazaki.
Blame Miyazaki. If this is like a weapon that like I found by like, I don't know, putting in a cheat code, or it was hidden beneath the depths of like fucking Nokron City or whatever the fuck. Then it'd be one thing. Then it'd be like, okay, I get, I found this powerful sword or whatever. This is a sword they gave me at the very beginning of the game, y'all. Let's all calm down.
Or you're dual wielding Uchiha Katana and...
Rivers of Blood Katana. It was like Rivers the bloody Katana.
Oh, is that the red one? That's a cool katana.
It's the red one. Yeah, it's cool katana. Which, again, like, that's another one that I found very naturally, and that was the one that, like, I'm not even using the art of war, or whatever, the Ash of War with it, right? I'm just using, like... I have that in my left hand. I'm using it for the dual wielding and for the combos. That's what I'm using it for.
Oh, so you had your mimic and you doing bleed build. Yeah. I mean, honestly, they're right to call you out, Bless. That's cheating. It is cheating. So,
if Andy Cortez says it, then...
It would have taken me less than 70 tries if people told me that my mimic could fucking heal. Jesus Christ, Blessing. Oh, my God.
You didn't know about the meat trick? The meat strat? The meat strat?
No, I didn't know about the fucking meat thing. What was it called? It was something really gross sounding.
It's like the raw meat.
Yeah, the raw meat. The raw meat meta.
The raw meat meta, yeah.
The raw meat meta.
You give your mimic the raw meat, then all of a sudden they get real strong.
Oh, we're doing games daily shit. I thought we were just talking about Elden Ring. Our bad, Jet. Our bad.
Yeah, my bad. Yeah. But yeah, like, I get done, or I beat certain bosses, right, after doing so many tries, and I'm like, man, it'd be great to go back and fight them again, because... That progression of like going through a boss fight, right? It's you getting the muscle memory. It's you learning the mechanics. It's you learning their moves, learning their animations. And that process is so fun and so satisfying that like when for me, at least, when I beat a boss, I'm like, man, all right, can I keep going though? I want to go back and fight them more, because like I want to perfect this. And to kind of lose out on that in certain games after you finish the boss fight, I feel like is a bit of a sad feeling for me. That's why I'm like, dude, put a boss rush mode in any game, because in every game that like has boss fights this good, because I want to continue to refine that, right? Like, I think that is some of the most fun you can have in an action game, is like refining and learning the patterns and learning all that stuff. And so, yeah, I'm very glad they're adding in Metroid Dread. I might go back to it. Maybe like once or twice, just to like experience it and just to see if I can fuck around and beat the bosses again. But I don't know if I'm gonna get super hardcore into it now. I feel like I'm past my Metroid Dread era of life now. For me, it's kind of on to the next one. But
we're in the backlog times right now.
It's backlog season. It's a new season. You smell that, Andy? Smell the backlog.
Smoky.
Yeah. Andy, before we transition to the next news story, I want to tell everybody out there about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where they can go and get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
No one likes waiting on a paycheck, especially when you've got bills due. Good thing there's Chime. Now you can get your paycheck up to 2 days early with direct deposit. That's up to 2 more days to save, pay bills, and generally just feel good about your money situation. But Chime is more than just getting paid early. It's also an award-winning mobile app, checking account, debit card, and optional savings account. So what are you waiting for? Hopefully not your paycheck. Get started with Chime today. Applying for a free account takes less than 2 minutes. Get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank and Stride Bank NA, members FDIC. Early access to direct deposit funds depend on the payer. You got back-to-back meetings, errands to run, and chores to take care of. What's the secret to clearing your to-do list? A little help from DoorDash. You can get dinner, household essentials, and everything on your grocery list delivered. I'm going to pause the ad and tell you, ladies and gentlemen, how do I know so much about DoorDash? I used it this morning. I woke up. I had to get the house ready. I had this guy coming to work on the garage. I had the nanny coming over. We had no clean bottles. I cleaned the bottles and everything. And I was like, I'm hungry and I need coffee and I don't have time to make either. I DoorDashed Jen and I some breakfast today and it was great. When I was sick last week, I DoorDashed Gatorade because I wasn't about to go out. DoorDash is great. Back to what they wrote. Ordering is easy and your items will be left safely outside your door when you choose contactless delivery drop-off. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code KINDAFUNNY. That's 25% off up to a $10 value and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code KINDAFUNNY. Don't forget, that's code KINDAFUNNY for 25% off your first order with DoorDash, subject to change, terms apply. For most of us, learning a second language in high school or college wasn't exactly a high point in our academic careers. I took 3 years of French, and guess what? It didn't stick. Now, thanks to Babbel, the language learning app that sold more than 10 million subscriptions, there's an addictively easy and fun way to learn a new language. Whether you'll be traveling abroad, connecting in a deeper way with family, or just have some free time, Babbel teaches you bite-sized language lessons that you'll actually want to use in the real world. Je parle un peu français, and I was talking to Jen's mom here and there about little things. Mon chapeau, you know what it's about. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 100 language experts. With Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you improve your pronunciation and accent. I could use that for English. Start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. Right now, you can save up to 60% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/kindoffunny. That's babbel.com/kindoffunny for up to 60% off your subscription. Babbel. Language for life.
Andy, my favorite thing this week is people going back and forth, right? Because like the more I talk about microwaving my waffles, the more the waffle microwavers start to like rise from beneath the earth and start to make their presence known. And I appreciate this chat from Beyond Legendary Night. For people complaining about Blessing microwaving his waffles, buy him a toaster then. And I appreciate it, Beyond. I appreciate it. I would microwave my waffles regardless. Like, it's not about the lack of toaster, right? If I had a toaster, that'd be cool. But that's not the reason I microwave my waffles.
He likes it is the because soggy feel.
I like them that way. I like them being soft. I like them feeling like I'm biting into a fucking soft-ass fucking pillow.
Here's what I imagine. There's a CSI episode, and they keep finding bodies that are laying on top of their comforter sheets with a plate of microwave waffles next to them. They're like, oh, the killer's been here. Like, this is some straight up serial killer type behavior. And I think we need to be careful.
Here's my other thing too, is that like, I don't really eat Eggo waffles anymore. Like, this is the thing that I did growing up and that I did probably into my early 20s, I want to say, but I got tired of Eggo waffles after a while because I just grew out of them. That said, if I were to buy Eggo waffles today, I'm still microwaving them. Like, that is the thing.
Have I told you how I eat Eggo waffles?
No, tell me, Kevin.
I get two of them and I toast them, right? Mm-hmm. And then what I do is I get honey and I put it in the middle and then I make a sandwich.
It's a delicious. A waffle honey sandwich?
Yeah.
I can dig it. I'm not mad at that.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at that.
I'm going to be 100% honest with you. Didn't know maple syrup was different than honey. I thought maple syrup was like a synthetic.
Okay, no, honey. That's weird. That's weird.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just, culturally, growing up, we had one thing of maple syrup, but like we did sweetened condensed milk as like you pour that on a pancake instead of maple syrup.
So many revelations on this show right now. This is absolutely just insane behavior.
Can I tell you?
I'm supposed to be the weird one, man. What the fuck?
When I was like, I want to say like 13 or 14, there was one Halloween where I had like a bunch of Hershey's Kisses. And you know what I did? Or not Hershey's Kisses, actually. I know that was probably some Hershey's Kisses, but it was mostly Hershey's bars. When I would go to microwave my waffles the next day after Halloween, I had the bright idea to put one of those Hershey's bars on top of the waffles, and so it will melt as it's microwaving and create chocolate waffles. And when I tell you that, that was one of the greatest breakfast experiences of my life as a kid.
A soggy waffle just sounds like the grossest thing of all time.
It's fantastic.
Only
the bottom one is soggy, and it's only the bottom half of the bottom one. It's the part that's touching the plate. Like, that's the part that's like a little bit soggy. And your waffles are getting soggy anyway because you're putting syrup on. I don't understand if people talking about soggy waffles.
No, waffles are soggy
if you're putting syrup on waffles.
My waffles stay toasty on the outside edges and crispy edges. Do you also microwave your pizza, Bless? Leftover pizza?
Leftover pizza? Yeah, most of the time.
Go to absolute hell. Go to hell right now.
I'm microwaving my leftover pizza. I feel like that's the most
cold. Just eat it cold like the adults that you are.
Okay, that's disgusting. You're eating, if you're having pepperoni pizza, that's cold. I guess that's like cold cuts. But either way, that's disgusting. No, I'm not doing that.
And cold, I don't refrigerate it. I've said this many times. I don't refrigerate it. I just leave it out on the table.
That's even worse. You can get I feel like you can get stomach viruses that way.
And yet here I am. Okay. I've only ever gotten one stomach virus, and it was from a restaurant that I love and I refuse to stop going to. So, like, it's fun. I'm fine. I've never gotten pizza.
Cold pizza is the disgusting thing here, Bless. Eating cold pizza, that's the disgusting thing here. You little freak sicko, man.
Yeah, you guys are acting like pizza is meant to be cold. Is they're meant to be hot meals.
It's great.
You go to one pizza place right now and say, I want cold pizza. Do you know what they're going to say? Get the fuck out of here. Who the fuck do you think you are?
I'm talking about one day old, like it's a little cold pizza. Kevin, I'm with you. I stand with you on that one. Also, Kevin, try a waffle sandwich with Nutella and syrup in the middle. We used to do that all the time in high school when we get super high, and it was the best.
Dude, that sounds amazing. I might try that.
You guys are insane. Story number three. We have our BAFTA Games Awards results. This is coming from Marie de Alessandri at gamesindustry.biz. Housemarque's Returnal won big at the BAFTA Games Awards last night, bringing home four trophies, including Best Game. Jane Perry won Best Performer in a Leading Role for her portrayal of Returnal's protagonist, Celine Vassos, with the Sony published title also winning the Audio Achievement and Best Music Awards. It Takes Two and Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart won two awards each for Best Multiplayer Game and for Best Original Property for the former, and for animation and technical achievement for the latter, which means Unpacking won EE Game of the Year, which is the only award voted for by the public, as well as Best Narrative. The Best Debut Game went to Something We Made's Toem. Here are all the winners from BAFTA Games Awards 2022. Again, for animation, you got Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. For Artistic Achievement, The Artful Escape. Audio Achievement, Returnal, hell yeah. Best Game, Returnal, hell yeah. British Game, Forza Horizon 5, which I really want to know more about that category, because like, how do you win British game?
Playground, maybe.
Oh yeah, Playground. I'm sure, like, yeah, they're central in Europe, but also, like, is it just the best British game? Is it the most British game? You know,
that game took place in Mexico. So
is it a game where they eat beans for breakfast? And that's another thing. Is y'all getting at me for the waffles? They fucking eat beans for breakfast over there in Europe.
First of all, like a lot of people in Latin America will eat beans for breakfast. All right, you ever have huevos rancheros? I have. No, I think they're delicious.
They're not. I think it's the beans on toast. The beans on the bread for me.
The beans on toast.
Good,
it's
crazy. Andy.
That's a wild move.
They sorted it out.
Also, I know it's the best game from a British developer. I'm joking, y'all. Debut game, Toem from Something We Made. Evolving game, No Man's Sky. Family, Chicory, A Colorful Tale. Game Beyond Entertainment, Before Your Eyes. Game Design, Inscription.
Yeah.
Multiplayer, It Takes Two. Music, Returnal. Narrative, Unpacking. Original Property, It Takes Two. Performer in a Leading Role, Jane Perry as Celine in Returnal. Performer in a Supporting Role, Kimberly Brooks as Hollis Forsythe in Psychonauts 2. Technical Achievement, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, and then EE Game of the Year, which is voted for by the public, Unpacking. Andy, I'm so happy that Returnal has finally gotten its comeuppance. That's the opposite.
It's getting its flowers.
Honored. It's gotten its flowers. We were finally acknowledging Returnal.
Yeah, I actually recently started I started playing the co-op with Mike recently because I really wanted to run him through some of the bosses. I want him to be able to actually beat the game. And yeah, what a solid fucking video game. Like, it feels as good as ever. I'm just kind of, there's been a lot of newer games that have been out since, and I'm just like, I just kind of want to keep on playing Returnal, man.
Yeah, man. I saw, like, somebody tweeted out, like, Returnal is a love letter to gameplay. And, like, I was thinking about that as I was, like, playing through the Tower of Sisyphus, right? The new endless mode last week. And I was like, man, They really nailed it with this one, right? Like, the gameplay loop is damn near perfect in Returnal. The weapon feel is damn near perfect. And yeah, like, one of the things that I talked about during Game of the Year season last year was the fact that, like, I think the soundtrack to Returnal is fucking phenomenal, like, top tier in terms of 2021. And then also the sound design in Returnal, I think, is fantastic. I don't think it got its due, right? I don't think it got that acknowledgement, especially in, like, the award season. And so, like, I'm glad to see that finally coming around to the BAFTAs. Returnal is winning big, right? It's winning all these different categories that, like, for me, I saw and I was like, man, this should be more common. Like, more people should be talking about how good Returnal sounds, as well as how good it plays. And so, shout out and congratulations over there at Housemarque. Story number four. This year's new Need for Speed game is reportedly now current gen only. This is Jordan Midler at Video Games Chronicle. A new Need for Speed game will be released this November for current gen consoles only, it's been claimed. Speaking on his premium Giant Bomb show, Grub Snacks, VentureBeat's Jeff Grubb said EA plans to release the latest title in the long-running racing franchise this holiday. Quote, Need for Speed is still coming this year, .. That's true. That game should be coming in November. If you're a Need for Speed fan who has bought a next-gen console, here's some news. It's next-gen only. They're shifting to next-gen only, Grubb said. If true, it marks a change in strategy from EA. In 2021, the publisher delayed the release of the next Need for Speed game by a year and moved developer Criterion Games into a support role on Battlefield 2042. Laura Meal, EA's chief studio officer, told Polygon at the time that Criterion was still handling the new Need for Speed, which would now be released by March 2023 for platforms including current and last-gen consoles. The last two entries in the series, 2017's Need for Speed Payback and 2019's Need for Speed Heat, were released simultaneously for PS4, Xbox, and PC. While Grubb didn't mention plans for a PC version of the game, he claimed the title could take place in Miami, although he said he was not certain. And I saw a tweet from Jeff Grubb this morning of him actually clarifying that the game is not taking place in Miami, so take that for what it's worth. But that's cool, right? Andy, what do you feel about a new Need for Speed?
I don't love the idea of it being next-gen only. I think that severely restricts its possibility of selling well. I don't know how many people with new gen consoles are really itching for a Need for Speed game when I don't think the last few have really blown the doors off, right? Have they even done well sales wise? Like, even when they were kind of on older gen consoles where you have so many units out there in the wild, I think that's going to severely restrict the ceiling for Need for Speed selling well, I think. What do you think?
I could see that. I think it's interesting for sure, right? Like, I think the idea of it releasing for next gen only and maybe taking advantage of like technical stuff seems exciting for me, but I also don't view Need for Speed as that franchise, right? Like, I view like a Forza or a Gran Turismo as that, but even, you know, Forza Horizon, the latest one, was cross-gen as well, and like that game performed pretty well technically. And so, like, I don't necessarily see Need for Speed needing the PS5 Xbox Series X like only boost to make it perform, if that's the reason. I know, like, game development is hard, right? Maybe it is a thing of, hey, we don't have the resources able to like focus on optimizing it for both platforms and making it work that way. We want to just focus on next gen. I think that could very well be the case as well. But like, I think for me the bigger thing is I find it hard to be super excited for a new Need for Speed. Like you said, like, the last few Need for Speeds, I don't think hit as well as they needed to hit from like a critical standpoint. I know I've heard people talk about the latest one, Need for Speed Heat, and talk about how like, oh no, this one's better than the previous ones before that. But even the previous ones before that, like, didn't really have big conversation around them. Like, I think Payback came out to the 2017 one. It was like, all right, for all I could glean from the internet reception of it and Metacritic and all this stuff. And then like, there was the Need for Speed reboot game before that. There was like there were a few Need for Speed. There was like the FMV one, I forget what it was called, right? Like, Need for Speed hasn't been what Need for Speed was in the past. It feels like it's another case of EA finding power in like an IP name and going, hey, if we put out a Need for Speed every 2 to 3 years, it's going to make enough money to where we can justify keeping on putting it out. I think the one thing that I find interesting about this one is that it's being developed by Criterion, as opposed to, I think it was Ghost Games or Ghost Studio. That's the studio that usually makes the Need for Speed games. Criterion, for the last gen, has been more so support. Like, they've been working with DICE on Battlefield. They've been working on other franchises. They've not necessarily have been making their own thing. And I want to see what Criterion makes. I believe the last Need for Speed game they would have worked on would have been the later ones on PS3, like the Most Wanted reboot. And so, like, them returning to Need for Speed, I think, is interesting. I wonder if what they make feels different from the last few. You know, I think that for me is like a little beacon of hope of maybe they refresh it, maybe they add new things, maybe they make it feel fresh. My other thing is, man, I wish Criterion was working on Burnout instead. Like, I miss Burnout. That's an IP that's been on ice for a long time. That's an IP that, frankly, I like more than Need for Speed. And you know, I think there could be power in rotating those two franchises. That way you don't have people getting tired of Need for Speed and feeling like there's a Need for Speed fatigue. That rhymes really well. You know, like, I think rotating between Burnout and Need for Speed would be a strong idea. But hey, for EA, I'm not surprised that they keep doubling down on Need for Speed and trying to make Need for Speed happen. I'm sure it sells well enough that makes them go, it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I just, to me, it's the type of franchise that just screams multi-platform, cross-generation game in the same way that your FIFAs would be, your Maddens. Like it, that's the type of game that Need for Speed is in my mind. I don't see it as this sort of technological marvel, right? Like, you're not going to Need for Speed necessarily for groundbreaking visuals in the way that you would go to Gran Turismo or Forza or anything like that. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a weird play for me. So I'm noticing that EA Gothenburg is who worked on Need for Speed Heat in 2019. And yeah, okay. The last thing that Criterion worked on was
Need for Speed Hot Gothenburg.
Gothenburg, EA Gothenburg.
Not like Batman Gotham.
No, Gothen, yeah, with an N. And then Criterion's last game was Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, the remastered version in 2020.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I see that. Yeah, like, and so it's funny, chat asked, like, I've never played Burnout. What's the difference of Burnout? Burnout is way more destruction based, right? Burnout, when you talk about speed, right? Need for Speed, Burnout feels like you're going fucking 100 miles per hour in the races. You can take out other cars and other opponents. And so, like, if you smash into an opponent's car and you smash them into a wall, they'll get taken out and they crash. And that'll then net you more points, which will net you more turbo to use so you can get more speed, right? Like, it is just a way more arcadey racing game than Need for Speed. And it's just way more extreme and way more destruction-based. And I found it to be, like, I'm not gonna say like it's more, for me it's more fun, right? But like, I know there's probably some people out there that would prefer Need for Speed Underground because it's a bit more grounded, no pun intended, right? But like, it feels way more fun, it feels way more fast, it feels way more fucking destructive. And Burnout 3 was definitely a fan favorite. I know so many people that love Burnout Paradise as well, right? And that's one that I don't think has a reason to not be around. And so that's kind of the difference there. Andy, let's talk about story number 5. The Sonic movie director says he'd love to make a Super Smash Brothers movie. This is Chris Scullion at Video Games Chronicle. The director of both live-action Sonic movies has said he would love to make a film based on Super Smash Brothers, but accepts it would be difficult to arrange. In an interview with comicbook.com, Jeff Fowler was asked if, given Sonic's presence in the more recent Smash Brothers games, he'd ever be keen on directing a movie based on Nintendo's series. Quote, "Nothing would make me happier than to just throw all the characters into a battle royale and do a big Smash Brothers thing," Fowler replied. However, he also conceded that it wouldn't be easy to greenlight, saying, quote, "That would probably require some work from the lawyers before that could happen. Getting Mario and Sonic in the ring, I mean, everyone would be kind of dying for that, right? That's just classic," Fowler added. And Fowler, I would be dying for that. I would fucking love
Super Smash Brothers. We've seen them at the Olympics before.
Yeah, if like they're able to hang out at the Olympics, I'm sure they'd be down to throw down in the octagon.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know exactly. I think this would be a cool thing to see on the big screen, but I don't really know if would we need a whole lot of reasoning for it to work, right? Like, is it going to hit story-wise if they ever were to go for this? I see this as a fever dream. I don't really ever see this actually happening, bless.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to be the pessimist here, just in hopes that it does happen, but, yeah.
I think the difficult thing, it's two things, right? It's what Jeff Fowler's talking about in terms of making it happen with the lawyers, right? Licensing. Like, are you going to have Sega and Nintendo collab on a movie thing? That is a lot, let alone having Nintendo collab with, like, maybe other Smash characters. If you're making a Smash Brothers movie, the only realistic way, I think, legally to make it happen would have it be, like, we're going all Nintendo characters. Like, we're stripping it back. We're going back to the first Super Smash Brothers, and it's going to be Mario, Luigi, Link, maybe Pokemon. Like, even that, I think, would be a conversation between Pokemon Company and Nintendo to go, all right, like, let's make this happen. How do we make this happen? Because, like, Pokemon Company already had their own things going on with Detective Pikachu and the way that they want to treat that IP. That alone is a conversation, let alone them talking to Sega, let alone them talking to Capcom or whoever else they want to talk to get other characters in. So I think legally, that would be where things start in terms of, all right, let's start small and have it be Mario, Donkey Kong, Link, and Fox, right? Or something along those lines. I think that's first and foremost. I think the other thing is figuring out, like, what that looks like in script and in story. And there's no idea that I can come up with that doesn't sound like pure fan fiction, right? I feel like it would have to be something along the lines of, like, all these characters, they happen to share a universe, and, like, Fox is in space, and Fox is hanging out with Samus and Captain Falcon. And, like,
yeah.
And I'm gonna be honest, right? I thought about this. I'm not gonna lie.
Beside your Google Doc, yeah.
I have deep lore in my head of what I would want a Smash Brothers movie to be, right? And if I'm pitching it, it would be this intersection of like space and time, right? And like how you combine the two. When I talk about space, I'm talking about, yeah, like Fox, Captain Falcon, Samus essentially being Guardians of the Galaxy, and the way that we view the MCU, like sure, cosmic yeah. stuff, right? Where you have Guardians, you have Thor, you have all that stuff. That's what's happening with Cap. I was gonna call him Cap, like he's Captain America. That's what's happening with Captain Falcon, Fox, and all of them in space. But then you have fucking Link, right? Link in my head,
the mythical sort of character.
Yeah. You have the mythical character, right? And I think like you can do some weird story and world twisting to make so that Link is actually in the same like universe, and like weird timeline shit is like Mario and them, and it is like in the Zelda movie, which we haven't talked about yet, but like trust me.
Oh yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah,
in the Zelda movie post credits, it is Zelda from like a different timeline sending Link through time because the universes are like there's a peril going on, right? Like there's a peril happening. The timeline's being threatened.
Love a good peril.
Love a good peril, right? The timeline's being threatened. Master Hand, or maybe Taboo. I think Taboo might be phase three. I think Taboo might be the Thanos of the situation. But let's start with Master Hand, right? Master Hand's fucking shit up. And he's putting the timeline at peril. Link is sent through time. Post credits, lands in Mushroom Kingdom and is like, how the fuck did I get here? Right? Wow. Like, and by the time we get to the last movie of phase one, which is just called Super Smash Brothers, naturally, right? Like, it is fucking like Kirby is the centerpiece of this, right? I think Kirby is the one who is somehow brings it all together, right? Kirby's the centerpiece. Yeah. Kirby is the glue. Kirby is the Kevin Coelho who brings fucking Captain Falcon and all of them from space. They bring them into the Fantasy Land. They meet them up with Mario. All of a sudden, we got to fight Master Hand, who's somehow teamed up with Bowser and Ganondorf as well, right? Like all of them have a hand in it. I have a whole fucking idea for how this
Fowler,
works.
Nintendo, you listening? Where are you at? Let them know, bless.
It just sounds too much like fan fiction. I think that's the thing is I can't think of a way you do it that doesn't sound like fan fiction.
What happened to, I know a lot of people didn't necessarily love this, bless, but when Netflix put out the Pokemon Mewtwo Strikes Back movie, the sort of 3D version of it, the remake kind of version of it, I loved that art style. I mean, I didn't necessarily love the way all the characters looked, but it was such a really, it was such a cute take 3D wise on that world. And they just stopped making them, and I wonder if maybe too many people hated it because the characters did look kind of weird. Mm-hmm. But I just want to see Metroid in that. I want to see the Legend of Zelda in that art style. Yeah, it just looks so cool, and I wish they were willing to take more risks there.
Yeah, and I think like I think there's ideas there that could work. I'm curious to see what the Mario movie ends up being and what it ends up looking like. And then in turn, what the Donkey Kong movie after that ends up being, what that looks like. Because like, if they end up, because we know this animated, right? Like, if they end up sharing an art style, and if they end up, if like Nintendo ever puts out like a Zelda movie or whatever, and it is animated, and it does seem like something that could cross over, I think they could do something cool there, right? And like, I don't know. I think the weird thing would be if Jeff Fowler is talking about crossing over with Sonic the Hedgehog, what that looks like. Because Jeff Fowler in the Sonic the Hedgehog movie's tone, it is very much like comedy, like family kitty comedy in a way that doesn't really lend itself to a like multiverse style or like crossover style, like epic kind of thing. Like I'm watching Sonic the Hedgehog and Sonic the Hedgehog 2 movies and being like, oh man, this is like a fun thing that like has dumb humor and Jim Carrey's being Jim Carrey, and I'm not thinking about it too hard because the movie doesn't want me to think about it too hard.
Right.
Right. I'm just here to see the wild shit happen, and I'm here to see Jim Carrey make jokes, and I'm here to just hang out. I'm not thinking about the universe. I'm not thinking about the long-term implications of what Eggman might do or whatever the thing is. I think that's the kind of effort you would have to put in to making a multiverse movie and something build up to a Super Smash Brothers thing. Right now, and I know they've talked about like a Sonic the Hedgehog cinematic universe that they're talking about. Like, even with that, I'm not expecting MCU. I'm not expecting like cool connections and Easter eggs and like all this crazy stuff that makes MCU MCU. I'm expecting a Tails movie that's gonna be fun. That's gonna be kitty. That's gonna be like cool, right? I'm expecting maybe a Shadow the Hedgehog thing if they ever get there, right? I'm expecting like the thing they talked about Knuckles, right? Like I'm expecting the Knuckles series with Idris Elba. And I'm expecting
with these ring
fun.
Portals, like anything's possible, bless.
Yeah, like anything's possible, but it's not going to be deep. It's not going to be like I'll pop as a Sonic fan, but it's not going to, I don't think it's going to reach beyond Sonic fans and like kids, you know?
Okay.
That's the thing that that doesn't worry me, but like makes me go, this is not going to happen in terms of Super Smash Bros. Movie. Like, we can never build up to that. But hey, we'll see. Jeff Fowler wants to make it happen, so maybe we'll make it happen. Speaking of the Sonic movie, story number 6, what is Idris Elba hiding? Kevin, I have a video that I want you to pull up. It's in the doc. It's a Twitter video. It comes from IGN. IGN tweeted out, Idris Elba is teasing his involvement in an upcoming video game. IGN were interviewing Idris Elba for the Sonic movie, of course. And the IGN interviewer asked the question. Kevin, go ahead and play the video.
Would you ever want to voice or do motion capture for like a major role in a video game?
100%. And, you know, there is, watch this space, my guy. There's something coming real soon.
Ooh, Idris Elba in a video game. That's all right. Okay. We see you do little things here and there, but I'd love to see you like, you know, motion capture. Like, that's Idris in the game.
Yes.
Would you ever want to voice or do
motion? Huh.
Andy.
Huh.
What do you think he's up to? What is he hiding?
That's it. They're doing it. They're making him 007.
In the video game? Oh, my God.
And the movies.
That would be insane.
Huh.
I would love that so much.
I thought I already heard that he was out of the running for the movies, though, Kevin.
Who told you? Who's telling you these things?
I got sources.
I mean, but like, there's also the 007 video game is in development right now from IO Interactive, which is supposed to be separate. It's supposed to be like a 007 origin story. Maybe that could be Idris Elba.
A lot of people in chat are saying Starfield, God of War.
Here's the thing, right? Kevin, I'm going to send you something in assets that I want you to pull up in a second.
I would do anything to just hear that guy, like, be the main voice of a character. Just take up the role. I'm talking like 120-hour epic. It's nonstop Idris Elba.
Oh, yeah. Somebody in chat just said Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad.
What's his face?
There's already a Deadshot, though. Or sorry, not Deadshot. What was his
But he was Deadshot, right?
Was he Deadshot in the last Suicide Squad? There's a lot of those shooty movie guys.
It's either the Will Smith guy or the Idris Elba guy.
Coincidence? I don't know. Bloodshot. I don't know.
So this is the Bloodsport. Right, he was Bloodsport. That's what it was. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I guess he could be Bloodsport in the game, but like the game had different characters and actors in the movies already, so I wouldn't think that they're going to double down on like getting movie people into the game if they want to do something different. This is the asset that I sent Kevin, which is a picture of Idris Elba hanging out with Hideo Kojima. Hideo Kojima, famously known for getting big celebrities to play parts in his game. We have no idea what Hideo Kojima is working on next. I could see Hideo Kojima putting Idris Elba in his next game because Idris Elba is dope as hell. And I'm sure Hideo Kojima fucking loves Idris Elba because he's the man of taste.
How much of a bag do you have to drop to get Idris Elba to be the main person in your game? That's gonna be so expensive.
Probably as much as it does to get Daryl from The Walking Dead.
Oh no, I don't think it's that much. Yeah. Or no, I think it's more than Daryl. I think it's more than Daryl. Yeah.
Yeah, because Daryl's not that guy's not like a huge actor. He's been in a lot of things, but like Idris Elba, I think, is a bigger deal. You know, like he's been in bigger movies as a bigger like the antagonist.
Hmm. I guess so. Like, Idris Elba definitely is like big blockbuster versus I keep calling him Daryl. I'll just go call him Daryl. Daryl from The Walking Dead is more of like a TV actor. But like, I feel like Daryl probably was expensive though. But it is a different level of star. I feel you there.
Why can't I fucking remember his name?
Norman Reedus.
Norman Reedus. Jesus, I kept thinking like Reedus the fetus. You know, the Norman Reedus fetus, little BB.
It could also be a Call of Duty thing, like Call of Duty known to get big actors sometimes in their games.
Oh, that would be so shitty. That would suck.
Yeah, but like, I feel like
it's going to be what it is. You're right. Fuck.
Yeah, like Idris Elba. I can like visualize it now, right? Like you get the reveal of Modern Warfare 2 and it is Idris Elba with a gun. Like that fits so well.
I'm the Black Superman. You know, he's already doing that thing. Remember that? Remember that movie?
I remember that movie.
How did Nick not like that movie?
It doesn't make any sense.
Nick didn't like it?
No, he hated it.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the latest Fast movie?
I think he was kind of like, it's too much. I don't like it. Kevin, can we? We'll talk about Nick later. I just feel like he's treading down a territory I don't want to go, you know?
Andy, I can't wait to see what video game Idris Elba ends up being in. But the reveal of that game is probably just so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to Mom and Grop shops today, where'd I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
There's a peril going on out there. You know what I mean? There's a peril. So you know it's Friday.
You
it's
see Friday. That? That's a big ass that? Peril.
It's a gigantic peril out there.
It's Friday and this coffee isn't doing shit. I was really hoping that this coffee would give me the boost of energy that I needed.
This coffee is shit.
It's not shit. Step up your game, Starbucks. Usually you do the damn thing. Out today, we got Astro Dogs for Switch, Boreal Tenebrae for Xbox Series X and Xbox One and Switch, Calm Colors for Switch, Rocket Cows for Switch, and then World of One for Switch. New dates for you, got one new date. XCOM 2 and Insurmountable will be free to download from Epic's Marketplace from April 14th to April 21st. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you were wrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong, as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. A lot of people writing in about microwaving waffles, which is not what this document is for. God damn it.
I should have submitted a you're wrong in there. It's like, why are you microwaving waffles?
Zaxxon Galaxian says, if I remember correctly, Halo Season 2 is going to be shorter than Season 1. Season 1 was longer because they had to rush it out and couldn't get all the features out and use that time to pay that time to pad dev time. That sounds like something they wouldn't officially say, so I'm going to assume that you got that from a report. Not even wrong.
Ag2015 chat says, I'm going to go looking for perils.
Nano says, Bless said that cold pizza has bacteria. Guess what? Everything has bacteria on it. And it's already cooked. All the bad stuff was cooked away. This is what when I took health class in high school, what I was told was that if you leave food sitting out unrefrigerated, there's the chance for it to get bacteria. And then
for too long.
Things, like,
yeah.
Poisoning. Yeah. And so, like, I feel like overnight is too long. Am I wrong?
Nah, turns out you're
Am
wrong.
Am I wrong?
You're wrong. You are wrong. I've had pizza that's been several days. And I'm
okay,
fine.
No,
well,
you're...
That might be pushing.
That's way too much,
that's
Kevin.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know what? There have to be pioneers that are pushing the limits.
You can't just be putting your faith on that in hopes that it's okay later on.
Yeah, all I'm saying is, Andy, at one point there was the first person to ever eat a blueberry. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I don't think in 2022
and then there was
you need
the
an
dude,
experiment.
And there was, then like there this. Was the dude that ate the blueberry that had gone bad and was like, oh, is this alcohol?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin will be the first person to eat pizza after 7 days.
I can't wait for Kevin to discover new
grapes,
food.
Kevin
for us.
And wine. I'm talking about blueberries.
He said blueberry.
You can make. Just so you idiots know, you can make alcohol out of anything with sweets.
Waffles.
Waffles for sure.
I'll drink some waffle alcohol. Hard to find here. Would. Says Andy, Kevin, Barrett are all wrong about cold pizza. It's gross. Bless. I'm sorry you have to be around these murderous psychopaths, and I'd watch my back if I were.
Yes,
eat.
We're
Thank
the
so
murderous psychopaths. The people who you know don't sleep over their comforters and only
it's
have
just
like
too
this
much over.
Life.
It's too heavy.
Here's the thing. I don't even love cold pizza, but I'd choose like cold pizza that's been sitting out for a couple hours over microwave pizza. Like
okay, that is insane.
Yeah. Like a soggy pizza, it's just so floppy and gross, dude. I need
and also,
like
have y'all never woken up with like sweats, like cold sweats, and you're like, oh man, get this fucking thing off of me. Like, I'm about to like fucking drown in my own sweat because it's too hot under here. You never had that?
No,
not I
not
mean,
enough
yeah,
to be a
much
weirdo
every,
like you are, you know?
I mean, just to be clear, I have had that every day of my life. I just, you kind of live with it.
okay, let's end the goddamn show. Fucking Jesus Christ.
Next week's host for Kind of Funny Games Daily go like this. On Monday, it is me and Tim. Tuesday, it is Greg and Gary. Wednesday, it is me and Janet. Thursday, it is Greg and me. And Friday, it is me and Tim. All of that is subject to change, but you'll figure that out as we go. If you're watching this live on Twitch right now after this, is Mike and the crew playing some Midnight Ghost Hunt? If you want to catch that stream later, you can, of course, subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.